with no further ado, I really would love to bring Alan on the air with us and welcome him to the Voice. Alan?
Thank you very much. It's great to be here.
Oh, we're so honored to have you.
Yeah, I feel like clapping. We need to get a recording.
Woo! Let's just get on with what we want to talk about.
Yeah, there's so much to discuss.
And Alan, you talk about finding your soul's mission. And I'm curious about what started you on your quest. We talk about quest, and I feel like it's similar to the soul's mission.
Well, you know, the first book was Intuitive Living, and after I had published that book and was doing a lot of teaching, and I kept feeling like, okay, but there's more. There's got to be, you got to find out who we are. Why are we here? What's this all about? And this was, you know, in the late, actually I wrote the book Soul Mission Life Vision in 2001, and then it was published in 2003. And it was, now there are so many books on the shelves about soul mission and or life purpose, or, you know, so many people talking about that. It's kind of the hot topic these days. But actually, Soul Mission Life Vision was the first book on this topic. And for me, it just felt like, okay, we have to know in really, really clear terms who we are and why we're here. And when I say really clear terms, you know, when I'm working with a client or in the workshops, we say, okay, six words or less. That's kind of, I mean, it's not like it's a formula or it's all cut in stone that it has to be six words or less. But what I find is the fewest number of words holds the greatest power. And so often people are saying to me, oh, yeah, I know what my life purpose is, and they go off and talk about it for, you know, 5 minutes, and then I'm not quite sure what they've said at the end. And so it's really bringing it down to those fewest words that when you say those words, it calls forth in you your sense of authentic personal power, your sense of it's like a little the blood starts to go a little faster. It catches your breath a little bit, because it's the soul mission is big. It's your greatest potential of your life that you're living into. Your soul mission is something that you're living into for your entire life. It's not just that a short-term lesson, you know, that you come along. And so if we talk about soul mission, a really important thing right off the bat is to understand that soul mission is not something that you do. Nobody's soul mission is to be a doctor or a lawyer or a teacher or a coach or a leader. Your soul mission is the energy that's flowing underneath that. And in fact, everything in our lives is actually becomes a vehicle for the living of that larger energy, that energy that's flowing underneath it, the passion, the fuel. My soul mission is I liberate and empower. Everything that I do, everything in my life is about helping people set themselves free and empowering them to create the lives that they feel called to live. And so when we're working with soul mission, we're looking for that energy that's flowing underneath the activity. Who are you getting to be? What's being called forth from you? What's the gift being given and received in the moment? It's that energy that we're looking for, and then realizing that when we have that soul mission, that becomes the context kind of for your life. And then you realize that, okay, so my relationships are vehicles for living that soul mission. My work is a vehicle for living that. If I'm a part of an organization, whatever role I may play in that organization, it's about being a vehicle to live that soul mission. So for me, whether I'm working with a coaching client or speaking in front of an audience or leading a 4 or 5 day intensive workshop with a small group of people, or I'm singing a concert or working with a singer or having a conversation with a friend, underneath all that is just this fundamental energy of liberation and empowerment. That's the energy that's flowing there all the time. I think, you know, to back up a little bit from that, we talk about the word soul, and soul has become such a catchword everywhere in our culture and society now. I mean, you see it in advertising and marketing, and you see it, you know, the Kia car company even has a car called the Soul.
Yeah.
You hear about the soul of a product and so forth. And So when we're, when a word is starting to be used like that, it often is saying to me, we're not really defining it clearly enough. Let's get back to what does that word really mean? And many people will say, well, it means essence. But if we drop even underneath that, in the ancient scholarly languages, all of which predate the religions that are associated with them, but in all those languages, the words for spirit and for soul translate to mean breath. And I think it's such a beautiful universal kind of definition of soul is to just recognize soul as the breath of life within you. It's the organizing force within your being. It is the life force within your being. And so what we're really looking for when we talk about soul mission, we're looking for how that breath of life moves through you in the most unique way. And somebody else may have the same words for their soul mission as you have, but it doesn't matter. It's gonna, that energy is going to move through you in a unique and powerful way. On one level, you could say everybody's soul mission is the same. It's to be a vehicle of love, love with a capital L, that creative and sustaining force of everything. So you could say that in a general sense, but we're working with soul mission to get much more specific to say, so let's look at how does that energy of love move through you in a unique way that's truly you're making your mark in the world in.
Yeah,
well, that gives
and how
me
does it want to show up?
Yeah. Yeah, it's beyond how you want to show up. It's how you're called to show up.
Yeah, and Ellen, you even mentioned, like, in today's world, soul is being there. And what I'm taking from this, too, is I remember a quote that you even quoted from James Allen, and he was many moons ago, and it was something like, a man sooner or later discovers that he is the master gardener of his soul, the director of his life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, you know, soul mission is not something that you choose. It's something that you discover. And then you get to choose how you're going to live it. Your soul doesn't really care how you live it. It just cares that you live it. When we talk about soul mission and life vision, they're two different things, because the soul mission, you discover it's who you were born to be. The vision for your life then is what you choose to create with that soul mission, how you choose to live it. Your soul mission gives you a sense of purpose, and your vision gives you a sense of direction.
Hmm. And I know, Alan, one of the things that we talked about the other day, you touched on who am I called to be, and what is mine to do?
Mm-hmm.
And you were very clear about what is not mine to do and knowing that. And I'm wondering if you could say more about that and about how do you know what's not yours to do? Where, how does that manifest itself?
Well, you know, it's such an important thing, because in today's world especially, as things are moving so quickly and we talk about create a world that works and what is your role in that, what is your role in any place in the world, it's very important to get very clear about, you know, there are lots of things that you can do, that all of us are probably good at a lot of things, but it doesn't mean that that's really mine to do just because I'm good at it. And so it's, again, paying attention to that soul mission energy. It's paying attention to what is it that excites you? What is it that means that you're willing to stay up half the night to work on something that you don't notice what time it is? What part of the work is it that just feels like, this is really calling to me right now? And the stuff that's not calling to you, it's not yours to do. Let it go. Somebody else will pick that up. And in fact, when you are so busy trying to do everything, the stuff that is yours and the stuff that's not yours, you're actually cheating somebody else of being able to do what's theirs to do.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a big trust here for us at this point in where we are in the world, of trusting that, you know what, there is someone there to take care of every single part of the job that needs to be done. And so I'm clear that this is what my part of the job is, and I'm going to trust that there's someone else who will pick up that other part of the job that I could do, but you know what? It's not really mine to do. That's somebody
else.
Oh, I
love that.
Yeah. It kind of takes a lot of the pressure off and lets you get on with what's really yours to do and where you're actually going to make the biggest impact.
That's what I'm thinking. I think there's an awful lot of us really trying to be things that we're not. and for all sorts of different reasons. And what a relief.
Yeah.
To know that this is not mine to do, and if I stop, if I let go, then I give you the chance to do what is yours to do, perhaps.
Yes, yes, yes. And I'm going to make a much more significant contribution then when I'm really doing what is truly mine to do.
And that's hugely powerful for our listeners. For those who are on their quests right now, and for those perhaps who might be seeking or wondering, you know, what is my quest? What is my soul's mission? I think I know. I'm not sure. I think that's so hugely powerful.
Mm-hmm.
I'm curious, Alan, how did you come to be on the quest that you're on now?
Well, that's kind of, let's see, a long story, so how do I make that very short for now? You know, I grew up being very active in the church, actually, because my father was a minister, and I grew up in Kentucky in the South, and in a very mainline Protestant denomination, somewhat liberal. But all the time growing up, I kept feeling like, you know, there's something more here. There's a bigger picture that I'm not getting. And so at some point in my mid-20s, I realized I have to go find out what that bigger picture is. And so I kind of began my own quest with that. And along, sort of parallel to that was my career in New York as a singer and a voice teacher was developing in a wonderful way. And I was having a lot of success as a voice teacher. But there came a point where a couple of things happened. I guess one was when I turned 40 and I realized, you know, I'm really, really good at this and I'm not learning anything anymore. So there was something that in some way I wasn't feeling stretched. And called. Of course, we can all keep learning and whatever it is that we're doing, but I felt like there's something bigger here that I'm supposed to be doing. And around that same time, I heard about this thing called coaching, and I thought, oh, that's interesting. I need to explore that more. And I was already teaching workshops for performers, and it was a program called Self-Discovery as Artist and Performer, so understanding energy and how energy moves through them in their performances.